The list of Massachusetts communities considering suing big drug companies over the opioid epidemic is growing. Some of these communities' lawsuits name drug companies and opioid distributors, alleging the distributors did not properly monitor the amount of prescription painkillers going into communities. Unlike legal action at the state level, these suits seek damages that would go directly to the communities that sign on. Boston attorney Peter Merrigan is from one of a handful of law firms working on this. So far, he's representing five Massachusetts communities, including Greenfield, where he's from. We met him at his office at Sweeney Merrigan Law in Boston this week and asked him to outline his legal approach.
It's a tremendous opportunity to not just play defense on this issue, but also play offense. And the goal of that is to ultimately receive compensation and settlement money for the communities to help them abate their damages in the future and make sure those dollars go back into the city where the harm is actually occurring.
Would you say that this litigation is modeled after the litigation against the tobacco companies that resulted in the big settlement in the 90s to states because of the dangers of tobacco use?
Well, there are a lot of similarities to that litigation. One particular difference in what we're doing, we are focusing our efforts representing the cities and towns. With the tobacco litigation, the Attorney General primarily pursued damages on behalf of the state. With respect to the opioid litigation, that's happening as well. The AG is pursuing damages in Massachusetts and throughout the country. But with respect to what our firm is doing and this suit we're talking about today, we're focusing on the communities.
Because in the case of tobacco, that didn't necessarily happen, that the money went back directly to the communities.
Well, that is something that was a case-by-case situation. Some of the money did go back into the communities, but ultimately the money will go to the legislature, and the legislature is charged with the duties to spend the dollars as is necessary.
But I wonder, it seems like there could be some big obstacles to that. First, maybe being your argument that the pharmaceutical companies are the ones here responsible when you're talking about people who were using drugs voluntarily. And it's different from tobacco because in the case of tobacco, people were using a product as was instructed and they got sick anyway. Here, you're saying people were using drugs as they weren't supposed to be using them and got sick. So is that, do you think that's going to be difficult legally?
I understand that argument and I don't agree with it. Primarily because the use of opioids creates a foreseeable dependency. Opioids are essentially synthetic heroin. If you're using an opioid as directed, they were marketed as chronic, long-term, everyday pills to take. And as a result of that, it is foreseeable from a legal perspective that people are going to become addicted to it. And when they become addicted to it, they're going to seek out other means to obtain opioids. And when those options are no longer available, the next step is heroin. So heroin is part of our lawsuit. It's part of the opioid epidemic.
But what about the step of going from aggressive marketing to then a consumer developing an opioid addiction? First of all, they were marketed to doctors, right? Not to consumers. Legally, how does that...
Yes.
It seems like a lot of big mountains
there, sure.
You know?
When opioids were coming on the market, the Controlled Substances Act basically said, look, we know these drugs are addictive. So Congress said in the 1970 Controlled Substances Act, look, we're gonna give you the opportunity to make billions of dollars. And while doing it, we're cognizant of the fact that there is a risk to the consumers on the other end. So you have to do one thing. That's it. That's part of your deal here. You need to report to the DEA any suspicious orders. And so if the percentage of opioid sales is increasing in a substantial way from one month to the next, that's a suspicious order. With respect to the distributors, it's arises from the failure to report suspicious orders.
What do you say to folks who say that this is a lot of legal wrangling to figure out how to get Big Pharma to pay for this crisis? Is that what it is?
Well, Big Pharma absolutely should pay for this crisis. So we're seeking to obtain damages for the communities to help them recover all that they've spent with respect to EMS, law enforcement, needle exchanges, Narcan, and those are all dollars that are just coming directly out of the communities. We're also seeking, and I think one of the most important parts of this, is an abatement fund, money that the communities can use to go forward and recover. And we feel genuinely protective of our communities. We've experienced it personally with family members who, we have a cousin who passed away from an overdose. We've had other family members who have been affected by it. And my father was a judge who started one of the first drug courts in the state out in Western Massachusetts. So it's not happenstance that we're working on this.
That's Attorney Peter Merrigan of Sweeney Merrigan Law in Boston. He's representing some Massachusetts communities suing big drug companies who sell and distribute prescription painkillers.